This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. We're going to go over Monday Night Raw that took place last night from Houston, Texas. Good amount that came out of the show, including some just absolutely stellar wrestling. I mean, not just the wrestling in terms of the show, but the actual wrestling itself, which, if you saw the main event, in my mind, that was a WrestleMania-worthy match, particularly the end with Chad Gable and with Sami Zayn. Just, I mean, this is what pro wrestling is about. And, you know, when wrestling's good, it's effing great. So this was just a thing of beauty. The gauntlet match to determine who is going to face Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. That was a thing of beauty. One of the best singles, I guess you could call it. Well, it wasn't a singles, but the end was a one-on-one with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn that I've seen in a long time. Just, I mean, I can't say enough about it. The near falls, the chemistry, the pure wrestling, all of it was just A++. I mean, nothing more I could say about it. Now, did the right person win? That's debatable. Chad Gable had a hell of a story going into this, and you know that he could have, and has already had, some A-plus matches with Gunther. Every single one of their encounters was memorable. And I think that going a fourth one with these two would have been epic. The story going into it with Chad Gable and his daughter crying because of Gunther, the emotional tie to it was great. And I think there was a heck of a story they could have told there. So I just hope that in the loss for Chad, that he isn't lost for WrestleMania, that they have something for him, but I don't know. He may be part of that six pack challenge for the tag team Undisputed Tag Team Championship ladder match, and he'll probably have a say there. But boy, he made a hell of a case to have himself a one on one with Gunther again. Now, Sami Zayn, was he the right guy? I think so. You know, if you're going to not choose Chad, Sami Zayn is certainly a formidable opponent, a guy that last year was winning the Undisputed Tag Belts with his friend Kevin Owens. This year, now one-on-one for the Intercontinental Championship with Gunther. So, you know, pretty good WrestleMania to WrestleMania parallel. It's just going to depend on, do they pull the trigger with Sami? I don't know. There's an argument to be made. The answer is no. And also, what about the Beast? What about Brock Lesnar, who is seemingly in the plans to return at some point in the near future? There are rumors now that he is being worked back into the plans for WrestleMania. And we'll see if that happens. We'll see if he comes out after a match. Maybe he'll have a match himself. Maybe it'll be after. Maybe it'll be Monday Night Raw after. But it appears, as of this moment, Brock Lesnar is trending towards coming back in an on-air character role, and you would imagine it's for Gunther. How about a quick kind of play on WrestleMania here? Sammy Gunther. Gunther wins, but just barely, in a 20-minute classic. Gunther gets on the mic, says there's no one left, and out comes Brock Lesnar. How about that, to tease another match? Now, some would say, well, why didn't you do that match at WrestleMania? Well, you know, I've kind of realized that not every great match in your mind needs to happen at WrestleMania or not at all. I think that's a lesson all of us as fans can really try to take to heart, that every great match in our minds and in the minds of WWE doesn't all need to happen at WrestleMania, because guess what? They still have, what, 10 or 11 other PLEs that they need to produce throughout the year. And they have big pay-per-views. SummerSlam has become a stadium show. Obviously, we know what Saudi Arabia is now. So, hey, there are other venues and other times and places we could do Brock and Gunther. It just isn't going to be this year, which is fine. We'll get it if Brock is on his way back. So, before we get going here, first of all, welcome to the WWE Podcast. If you guys want to go ad-free, great time to do it over at Patreon. $1 gets you in the door. As you go up in tier, you get exclusive shows like our After Dark show, and you can even come on the show if you go up high enough in tier. So that's just something that is, if that's enticing to you, you don't want to listen to any ads throughout WrestleMania season, then I'd highly encourage you to go over to Patreon and check us out, or on Apple Podcasts. You guys can check us out there and go ad-free on Apple Podcasts as well. So, all right. Well, before we get going, one more thing. I'd like to welcome some new patrons, speaking of. How about Melbourne M, Alex B, I'll pronounce your name if I can, Alex Blundell, and Austin Daughtry, and I think I said Loops Valdez last time. So welcome to Melbourne, Alex, and Austin. Welcome, you guys. I hope you enjoy your, some of you are on free trials, but I hope you join us on the paid side of things, because I think you'll want to stay. I really do. So, all right, let's continue here with what I thought a pretty memorable Monday Night Raw. Nothing, you know, I shouldn't say memorable. It's one that was impactful and moved things forward. The most memorable thing for me was the presentation of the 6-man gauntlet match for the IC title, shot at WrestleMania that I went through. We'll go through that maybe a little bit more later. But the other thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, let's just start with the beginning here, was Travis Scott. I don't know what it is with country singers lately and some kind of partnership they have with WWE. I'm not sure, but it's a lot of country singers that are, you know, Hardy. You've got Travis Scott. There was another one I can't remember. Jelly Roll. Is he country? I'm not sure. But I don't know what it is. Nonetheless, McIntyre came out and he trolled the fans on the What treatment, which was fun. He's saying, you know, say what if you're glad I took out CM Punk, and the fans, of course, obliged like idiots. Sorry, Houston. By the way, Mr. Rocky T and Mrs. Rocky T are going to be joining me on the Week in Review for their in-person thoughts on Raw. They were going to join me tonight. Tonight was just chaotic for me, unfortunately. I'm recording this kind of in pieces. So they were originally joining me tonight, but no fear. They'll be coming on the Week in Review show to discuss their in-person perspective in Houston. So wanted to put that out there. Now, McIntyre, again, trolls the fans. Never a dull moment with him. And he brought up The Rock. He spoke about how pro wrestling started at carnivals and then moved to armories. And he said that now they work with one of the most powerful people on the earth. And he gets why Cody's upset, but it doesn't involve him, nor does it involve Seth Rollins. McIntyre said everyone from the locker room to the board knows that he's a champion the company can be proud of. That's when Seth Rollins comes out. He told McIntyre to do everyone a favor by shutting his mouth. And Rollins entered the ring and said McIntyre had been begging for his attention. Rollins dropped to his knees and dared McIntyre to give him a claymore. McIntyre didn't. And said that Rollins was right when he told him to get over the bloodline. McIntyre said he gave Rollins some advice, but all Rollins cares about is himself. Rollins said McIntyre is starting to remind him of CM Punk. Rollins said that he thought Punk was the biggest hypocrite in the world until he met McIntyre. Rollins then said that McIntyre complained about the bloodline, and now it seems like he wants to be their honorary member. And Rollins said he believes that McIntyre would love nothing more than have the bloodline help him take the title at WrestleMania, but it's not going to happen. McIntyre then said he knew Rollins wanted him to put him out of his misery, but there was nothing he could say that would provoke him. McIntyre exited the ring. Rollins called out to him and said he hadn't paid much attention to McIntyre on the road to WrestleMania because of all the things he has had to worry about going into the show. And McIntyre is at the very bottom of the list. McIntyre almost caved and attacked Rollins. You know, I don't know if this was the strongest promo for Rollins. Devaluing your WrestleMania opponent isn't the best idea. Your idea is to work with each other, okay? And, you know, to help elevate each other, even through insults. And that didn't happen here. And the one thing he could have said, by the way, is, you know, your parents, your mother must be ashamed of you. Why? He was very close with his mother. That's well documented. And that's the one thing that he snapped on Sami Zayn for. So that's all he had to say was talk about his family. That's it. I mean, there you go. So, but nonetheless, this was a very well executed segment just overall, even if this wasn't Rollins' best work, but really didn't hurt anything, I don't think, long term. And here's the bigger picture for me. Despite the fact I didn't like a lot of the context of what Rollins was saying, I did appreciate that they actually focused on the world title solely for the most part, other than mentions of The Rock and the Bloodline. But as focused as they've been on the world title match so far, which has been nice to see, I have to say, it's been really nice to see for a change them focusing on Drew and Seth and Seth and Drew rather than Drew being annoyed that Seth is not focused on Drew. So I did enjoy that. So there is that to see if they continue doing that or if it then becomes muddied again with, you know, Cody involved and Drew and Seth just can't have a single program with one another, rather a focused segment. So that to me was a good thing. All right. Now, WWE is very proud of their 100 million YouTube subscribers, and they should be. You know, that is a crazy amount of people subscribed to their YouTube channel. It's ridiculous. Now, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan was next, and this match really, you know, this match overachieved for me. It did. And I wasn't expecting much going into this, particularly because I'm not Liv Morgan thus far hasn't been, you know, in my top five wrestlers, wrestling ability for the women. I don't think she's, you know, dead weight or anything like that on the roster, but she hasn't exactly been engaging as a character, and her in-ring wrestling has been okay. But this here was, they had nice chemistry here. Both Becky and Liv, I thought, worked well together. Becky took some pretty nasty bumps for Liv. Becky's always been a selfless wrestler, but, you know, Liv Morgan brought it too. And this was a 15-minute match. And it ended with Becky beating Liv after the second manhandle slam. And, you know, the mutual respect thing happened after the fact. And it seems like Liv and Becky are okay now. And Rhea came out after. And Morgan and Rhea had words on the ramp before Morgan headed back. And Rhea congratulated Lynch and noted that Lynch beat Morgan and then asked her if it was all worth it. Ripley said Lynch keeps getting into fights and leaving it all in the ring as they get closer to WrestleMania. And Ripley said that Lynch does it to prove herself, to prove to herself she's the best, but you know deep down that I'm better than you. And she accused Lynch of so many matches leading into WrestleMania that she's having so many matches that it'll lead to an excuse of why she couldn't beat her. Then Lynch said that before the Royal Rumble, that Ripley might have been better than her, and she planted that seed, it's grown into a tree, and if it has to be her against the whole world, then the whole world doesn't stand a chance, because this was a decent line. She said that she's good when people believe in her, but she's great when they doubt her. That's a good line. I you know, for all the criticism I give Becky, that's a line that I think has a lot of meaning to it for a lot of us, you know what I mean? So I enjoyed that line from Becky, probably her most genuine promo response to Ripley thus far. This whole interaction here thus far has been the most enjoyable and authentic. And she said that, you know, obviously if the whole world is against her, then the whole world doesn't stand a chance. And she left. Pretty good. I have to say that these two did a nice job from the match with Liv and Becky to the interaction with Rhea and Becky that didn't overstay its welcome, was to the point, and I like how they're not just having brawls with Rhea and with Becky yet. They're holding off. So that was nice. All right, Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell beat Ivy Nile and Maxine in 2 minutes. And, you know, it was interesting that they're bringing the internet into this, meaning Dupree got some early offense on Hartwell, but Cole's prompting Cole to say that she was showing she belongs. Dupree went for a reverse caterpillar, but she backed off when LeRae was waiting for her. LeRae then said to Dupree that she doesn't belong and mocked her for the internet hurting her feelings. Dupree shoved LeRae aside and it looked like she was going to leave, but Hartwell dropped her with a kick and pinned her. I don't know. I mean, this is your typical random women's tag team match of the week. It's just kind of the way it's been for the company here. And I know they're trying to bring this into real life. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it. It felt a little forced, but it also is something for Maxine to do. It's something for her to dig her teeth into. As shallow as it is, it's something. So, all right. Let's see. We got the announcement of the Tag Team Six-Pack Challenge at WrestleMania. We got Cody Rhodes having a sit-down interview in the ring with Cole. And Cole recalled The Rock pointing out on his board of directors that he's on the board of directors and is Cody's boss. Cole asked Cody why he slapped The Rock. Cody said he knows Rock claims to be his boss, but he's not sure that he is. Cody said if The Rock is his boss, it felt good to slap his boss. Cody said The Rock was a great wrestler before everything else came along, and that slap was a receipt. Cole then dug into can Rollins be trusted, and Cody said people change, and recalled Cole's heel character of being in a plexiglass box, and recalled that when he smashed a throne and said the person who sits on that throne has now become his closest working ally. He even teamed with Jey Uso. And Cody said that he and Rollins haven't always got along, but Rollins has always had his respect, and this is a shot at getting a fair fight against Reigns on night two. By the way, I thought about it. Cody shouldn't even have to have that match. Can he not just protest to management, hey, Roman's had the bloodline interfere in every single match that he's had, every title match. Can I just get a fair fight and have you ban the bloodline from ringside? Or is the excuse, well, they have political power, they can't just do that? I mean, Cody has a pretty good reason to just expect a one-on-one, and WWE, the company, to protect the one-on-one, no? So it's just a little weird that we're going through the rigmarole, if you really use logic, that Cody even has to jump through these hoops. It should just be expected that you shouldn't have any interference. But, I mean, it's wrestling, right? So, all right. So then we get Cody setting up footage on the screen of Cole asking him in October whether coming close to winning the world title would be Cody's story, just as it was his father's. Cody said it was a good question. He asked Cole if he looked nervous and scared, and Cody said the old, this is very interesting. And, you know, I don't want to pretend Cody listens to this show. I doubt it. There's probably a lot of other bigger podcasts saying somewhat similar things that I am. But if you didn't know any better, it sounds very much like his response to our criticisms of him on this show. Just putting it out there, because he said this, that the old head podcasters, me, I guess, I don't know if I'm old. I have an old head. I don't know what he means by that. Maybe the established podcasters. I'm not sure. Can't believe he's wearing suits and using big words. He said the story is no longer about him and Reigns. It's about the fans who followed him to the absolute end. And then he told a story about a blind fan who have come to the show to cheer, feel the cheers, and another who underwent spinal fusion surgery, wanted nothing more to get his weight belt. Cody then brought up his sister that The Rock didn't mention, and his mother. Cody got emotional while he said he couldn't hand the title belt to his father, but he could still hand it to his mother, Michelle Rubio. And Cody also brought up his wife, and she said she took a shot on him when he was wearing a goofy mask and taking RKOs every night. He's getting all emotional. He said the story is beyond him, but it's up to him. He stood up and looked into the camera while recalling Roman Reigns stating last year at WrestleMania they were in the third inning. Cody said they're in the final inning. Well, why didn't he just say the ninth? I mean, the only sport that has innings is baseball. So, nonetheless, Cody said Cole will get to say at WrestleMania that Cody Rhodes has finished his story. Cody shook hands with Cole and hugged him. Okay. They're really trying to pull on the heartstrings of fans here. Let me ask you a question. In the lead up to WrestleMania, for any other major babyface trying to overcome a heel champion leading into WrestleMania main event, in your mind, can anyone else name a time when we got crocodile tears from an emotional babyface going into it to challenge a heel? I mean, are we supposed to all feel bad for Cody? I mean, I understand that, yeah, he's telling us about his wife and how she took a shot on him and a blind fan came to the show and another one underwent spinal fusion surgery to get the weight belt. I mean, okay, so that's supposed to endear us to him, but a lot of other stars do the same thing. It's what you do as a wrestler, okay? These are not really optional things a lot of times, okay? These are things that, sure, you can do more, but this is at the bare minimum what you do. So he's not doing anything that any other babyface shouldn't already be doing. Okay. Also, old head podcasters who can't believe he's wearing suits and using big words. No, I can believe you're wearing a suit. I can believe you're using big words. My question is, why? It's not that I'm just shocked. I can't believe it. It's just what I'm seeing is not believing. I'm not believing my eyes. No. Cody, you have it wrong. He's looking at the superficial. He's not understanding the deeper meaning of why he does these things and why the vibe that he gives off through these things is what really is the problem. It's not that we can't believe it. It's not that we can't believe it. It's just coming off as disingenuous. That's all. You know, but hey, I've got a few more criticisms if you need a few to use in your promos. That's for sure. Anyway. Yeah, so Ken, continuing on. Good promo, but we got crocodile tears. I mean, just a big whiny baby going in. I understand his dad. I don't give a damn about his dad anymore. Like, I care about Dusty Rhodes' career. I feel for him and his loss. A lot of us have lost family members. Absolutely, that's a real thing. But at some point, you're just sick of hearing about it. I'm tired of it. I don't need to hear about it. I don't need this, like, oh, the sympathetic, oh my God, his father. Yeah, a lot of us have lost people. What makes you any different? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just sick of it. And the fake tears. Save it, bro. Save it. All right. The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark for the women's tag team titles. This match lasted 10 minutes with the Kabuki Warriors defeating Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. The finish was catching Sane in a Karafuta clutch. Sane rolled onto her to get a two count, but Baszler maintained the hold as they stood up, and Kai reached in, grabbed Baszler's foot to cause a distraction. Asuka tagged in and put Baszler down with a kick. Sane tagged in and hit her insane elbow on Baszler for the victory. Crowd wasn't really too one way or the other on this. Yeah, it wasn't the most intriguing match in the world. It was nice to see the women's tag team champions actually defend their championships. And a women's tag team match that goes into double-digit minutes is always a positive. But this didn't really... I mean, better than nothing, absolutely. But still, what's the direction of this division? Where are we headed? Who are the real teams? Why should we care? I mean, really. But... All right, Damian Priest versus R-Truth. R-Truth was defeated in 8 minutes, and he hit South of Heaven to get the victory here. And this was the finish was Truth applying the STF. Finn Balor and JD attack Gargano and Ciampa at ringside. Truth went up top and dove onto the pile of wrestlers on the floor, and it drew a holy S chant. I don't know why. Truth then returned to the ring and ate a clothesline, and Priest lowered his straps and hit the South of Heaven choke slam. So I think Truth's run of being hot, his flash in the pan moment, unfortunately might have passed, but it's still possible he and Miz earn their way into the tag team six-pack challenge at WrestleMania and still win those tag team championships at WrestleMania. I think it's still very possible. So, but right now, I mean, he has cooled off immensely. So kind of sad, but you can still heat things back up. I just hope, I really am hoping for Truth. I'm rooting for Truth here to win the belts with Miz at WrestleMania, because man, there's no one more deserving for a tag team victory, really. Alrighty. So then we get that main event, that brilliant main event, and the finish, as I mentioned, was just absolutely brilliant. We did get a nice kind of statement from Big Bronson Reed of the tsunami after he was defeated by Sami Zayn. So Bronson Reed got his heat back without losing too much by being defeated. So there was that. JD McDonagh being defeated doesn't really hurt or help him. We did get a Shinsuke Nakamura loss that, I mean, Shinsuke is rubber at this point. You don't have too much faith in them giving him a sustained push, but you know that he's capable and dangerous at any moment. So kind of a, you know, maintain for him, kind of a neutral loss for him. And, you know, hey, Shinsuke, or rather Chad Gable, even in a loss here, continues to just kick ass. And this was a 41-minute main event. Loved it. Loved it. Again, good show, made even better by the actual quality A-plus wrestling in that main event that just blew me out of the water at the end and engaged you. And even if you didn't know anything about the match or the stakes, drew you in. That is pro wrestling at its finest, my friend. So, well, that'll do it for me. I know it's a bit shorter than normal here. I mean, I do have kind of a weird night ahead, so I think I'll end it there, but I do want to say thank you. I will be back on, until tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so I'll be back for the mailbag, hopefully. I know I've been late with that, but I think I'm finally not sick, so that's also a nice kind of change of pace in my life of not being sick for 2 months. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be back for the mailbag, and then that might be it for the week, depending on what happens. If there's bigger news, sometimes I pop on. And then, of course, you know, we have Friday for SmackDown, and then the rest is history on the weekend. So don't forget, Sunday we'll have Mr. Rocky T and Mrs. Rocky T on the show to discuss their in-person experience with Monday Night Raw. And then that'll kind of wrap up the week as we creep closer to WrestleMania. What do we have, like 25 days? Like 25 days to WrestleMania? So not long. Not long. That'll do it for me, guys. Sorry it's a little bit briefer, about by 15 minutes, but life. All right. Talk to you guys later. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.